Okay, good morning. Let's focus. We're doing Yeridea now. Hilchos Shechita Siman Yud. So we just started Yud. We previously read the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, where he discusses about a knife, a kosher knife, but it's Asar Behana because of Avodah Zarah. So we finished that. Now we're going to discuss the next case in the middle of Seif Aleph, where the discussion is, you have a treif knife, a goyish knife, a knife that belongs to a goy. And we all know, stam kelim einam b'nei yuman, that's a famous principle in halacha, that a kli, that you don't know when it's, how long ago it's been used, so then we assume that it hasn't been used within 24 hours, unless you know it was used within 24 hours. Okay, so let's read, and we'll see. Vav, sakin shel goyim. So, if you have a knife that belongs to a goy, but then you take it on the mill and you refinish it, you're grinding the edge of the knife, and you're removing the end particles of the blade, and you're
Vav.
Seif Aleph. I'm sorry. Seif Aleph. Okay, in the middle of Seif Aleph. Where's the beginning even? Sakin shogoyim sheishchiza berichaim shela o im haita yafe she'ein ba pegimot. Or if you have the treif knife, a knife of a goy, it's smooth, it's not serrated, and it doesn't have any pegimot. We'll call it nicks or little indentations in the end of them. So then, if it were perfectly smooth, then again, how smooth, it's a question. It basically has to be very smooth. It's not for Hilchos necessarily for the Hilchos Shechita per se, but it's Hilchos Kashrus. So it says, She'ein ba pegimot v'na'atza b'karka kashe asara pe'amim. Or you stab it in to hard dirt 10 times. All the poskim means exactly as it says. You have to stab it hard into dirt, hard dirt all the way, 10 times along the blade. And it's not like sometimes if you show up in someone's house, you see a pot of a plant, and you see a knife or a spoon upside down inside the pot. That doesn't do anything. What needs to happen is we're talking about a blade because it's sharp, and you're stabbing it 10 times into the hard dirt.
What's going to happen to that blade?
What's going to happen?
It's going to be full of
pegimot now. Not necessarily. And again, I'm not sure, Eish Ladun, how it's relevant to Hilchos Kashrus. In other words, a little nick it might not be the same as for Hilchos Shechita. Hilchos Shechita, any little catch or a nick makes it a nevela. At least that's the halacha. And when it comes to, we treat it as a complete nevela. And then when it comes to Kashrus, okay, Eish Layan, exactly. But anyways, so let's keep reading. So now, if you shecht with it, so you have, again, a treif knife, and you either refinish the edge, or you do an itza, you stab it, na'itza bakarka in the hard dirt 10 times. That's the case, where if you do this, now it's mutter. Okay, so let's go back a drop. Okay, just want to point out, when it comes to Hilchos Shechita, when we're shechting, there's a big basic principle, we're going to see it come up a few times. When you shecht the makom of where you cut into the neck, that's called Beit HaShechita. In Chazal, that's what they call Beit HaShechita. And is the Gemara has a discussion on Chulin Daf Chet, Amud Beis, it's a machlokas, is it called Roteach or Tzonin? Does it have a din of something that's hot or something that's cold for all of halachas and for absorptions for blia? So the halacha is we paskin it's hot. Okay, it's brought down a little bit later in the Taz. He quotes the Rosh or Rashba. Where to go? The Rashba writes, this is in Yudalit, just out of interest. He writes roteach ktsat velo roteach gamar. In other words, it's roteach velo roteach. Obviously, we're not talking, everyone understands, we're not talking about something that's libun, and we're also, kimat, all the poskim say, we're not talking about yatzaledbo. It's less than Yatzil Eretbo, but Chazal explained that Pashtus, it's Midin Tara. If it's Alech Olam Hashem Yisinai or Chazal Rekavu, but it seems to be a Din Daraisa that the Beit Hashchita, the blood that comes out when you shecht over there, has a din of, it's hot, it's Roteach, and it does have the power to absorb a little bit, basically a Kedei Klipa, from the knife or from into the animal, into the neck. So we're going to see how that's relevant. Again, when we're talking about the Beit Hashchita, you're dealing with duchta de sakina, it's a sharp knife. There's pressure of the knife, there's pressure of the blood, and it's very warm, if not hot, and it's all done all at once, and that's the din, that's the halacha. And interesting to note that for the halachas of determining yad so let it bo, so Rav Shlomo Zalman said, based on this, he knows that it can't be yad so let it bo in a halacha for all of halachas. It cannot be less than about 45 degrees Celsius. I don't know, maybe something like 110, 111, whatever it is, Fahrenheit. Why? Because we understand that the blood is less than Yatzel Eretbo. That's what it seems to be from the Gemara Rishonim. And we know that a bird's temperature of blood is a little bit warmer than human blood. So 45 degrees is going to be a bit more. You know, there's different. Every animal and birds have different temperatures, but some are close to 45, and it can have a little fever, whatever it is. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman writes. That's how he gets to that number. Okay, so let's keep going. Now, when we spoke about stam kelim eino ben yoman, so let's say we're assuming it's an eino ben yomo, but the Shach says it's still an issue because. Since it belongs, a goy uses it all the time, and so it's going to have a little bit of fat, or sham nunit, a little bit left on the blade, and therefore it does create a problem if you don't kasher at first. And even if it's a ben yomo and it looks completely clean, well, either way, we're going to see you have to remove kedei klipa if you didn't kasher it. And, okay. Ben yomo certainly is an issue, but we're even choshesh for an eino ben yomo because it belongs to a goy. And I think that's good for now. Okay. Bottom line is, if you're going to use it, you need to do something to make it kosher.
If it's
a bit yom, so can you use it lechatchila or not? You have to do ni'itza bakarka or lehashchiz, whether it's a ben yomo, whether it's not a ben yomo. That's clear from the poskim. Okay. Just for a chumra opinion, not lehalacha, the Rambam writes, you shouldn't ever use it, even if it's not a ben yomo, even if you do an itza. But that's what they also bring down. But we hold you're allowed to, as long as you do something, and then you can use it, at least if it's not a ben yomo. Well, let's keep reading. Let's qualify. Okay, so we said, if you shechted it, it's mutter. V'im shechad ba belo shum hechsher. Now let's say you didn't do any kind of a hechsher for it. You didn't do ashchaza or ni'itza, meidiach beit hashchita. So now what you must do is you have to rub, not just rinse, but you have to rub the neck in order to wash away any of the shamnunit that's there. V'im. Now we're going to see, you also have to, when you get to shecht, when you get to melicha, you're also going to have to rinse it there, but there it's just an easy rinse. Here, because of the issue of the heat of the beit hashchita when you shecht, so it's not enough just to rinse. You have to actually meidiach with physical force. You have to rub it with your hands, or scrub it in order to get it out. Okay, v'im kalaf hareze meshubach. Now it's much better to just slice off a super thin layer, and the edge from where you did the shechita. And then that's even better than doing hadacha. And hadacha says v'alkei yeshal kofo. And therefore, the halacha lemaisa is, and if you didn't kasher it, you do have to do remove klipa. Okay. Okay. Now, lechatchila, can you use this knife? Just lechatchila only if you refinish it. But just doing ni'itza, you shouldn't shecht with. Again, we're not using goyish knives anyway. It's not really. But you should. You're not allowed to lechatchila unless you refinished it. But then, once you did it already, then it's kosher if you already shechted it. If you did ni'itza, if you did nothing, then you have to remove kedei klipa. Haga ubemakom hadchak she'en lo sakin acher. And if you're in a difficult situation, and this is the only knife you have a goyish knife, and you made sure you smoothed it out, and it's kosher, no pegimos, mutar lishchot bo b'kehagavna lechatchila. So then, if you have no choice, so then you just do ni'itza b'karka, and then in this situation, we say you're allowed to use it lechatchila because you have no choice. Aval lo yishchot al menat liklof acharkach. But don't shecht it without doing the itza, with the intention to remove the klipa afterwards. Make everything kosher lechatchila before you start shechting. Okay. Fine. Let's go on. Bet. Sakin sheshachet b'kshera. Now, you shecht a kosher animal. Okay, you have a kosher knife. You did a kosher, it's for shechting. And you shechted an animal, everything went well. But we know you're not allowed to eat blood of the animal, right? And now you have, after you shechted it, you have blood dripping on your knife. What do you do? So alfa pishuhu meluchlach medam, even though it's still full of blood, mutar lishchot bo pa'am acheret, you're allowed to cut another animal, even though there's still blood on it. Aval asur lechtoch bo roteach. But you can't take this knife that has blood on it to cut a kosher piece of steak that's hot, okay? Because it's because of the heat of the item that you're cutting, it's going to take the blood and put it inside.
But after you wash it off and it's clean?
Then you're allowed to, yeah. Then you're allowed, if you have a kosher knife and you did shechita with it and then you rinse it off, then it's okay. Right, umutar lechtoch bo tzonin al yedei hadacha shedichenu tchila. Oh wait, then you're allowed to cut cold with it after you rinse it off, tchila. Either you rinse the knife off before, or you rinse off the food. That's if it's done when it's cold. But if you want to, you can't use it if. You can't use a shechita knife for hot food unless you do hagala. Okay, so let me just go back sort of on what I just said. Haga, vim rotze lahagilo lechol boroteach, tzagile bagala ayidei iroi, afagav she'eno kekli rishon. So we're not going to get to all the details. I mean, we're all familiar anyway, but you're allowed to pour, if you want to take a shechita knife that you just did shechita with it, because it entered the Beit HaShechita, which is hot, and now you want to cut a hot piece of steak, you first have to do Iroi Kli Rishon. I mean, you can do Hagala in a Kli Rishon, or you can just pour hot water from a Kli Rishon, from an urn or from wherever, and that's and then that kashers it enough. Okay. Now, in order to put it in a piece of meat, or machmer to do iroy or hagala, but to cut the next animal, which is also a hot beit hashchita, that's not an issue, because it's not as hot, and also because the simanim, or it's really the beit hashchita, is pouring out blood. There's pressure leaving the animal, so it's too difficult for it to draw from the blood and put it into the animal all at once with this level of roteach. So that's explained in the Shach and Taz, I think. Okay. And even one time, you need to do hagala. Once you use it once for shechita, and you want to use that same shechita knife for eating with hot food, already one time you need to do iroi. And if b'di'evid, then you just need to do klipa. It doesn't absorb into the whole piece of meat because because the knife didn't become completely treif. The knife only got a little bit of blia from the beit hashchita. So then you only have to do a klipa to kasher your steak that you used it for if you didn't do iri kli rishon. You don't have to worry about a hot knife where the whole thing is hot and it absorbs all the way through the piece of meat. That we'll get into later on, much later on. Okay. Anyways, you use the shechita knife, just cut off kadei klipa if you didn't do hagalah. Now, let's go on. I think we'll get to gimel. Sakin sheshachat bo treifa. Okay. So now, what's the next case? So we discussed isur hana, we discussed a treif knife, we discussed a kosher shechita. Now, what happens if you shechted an animal, it was supposed to be a kosher animal, and it turned out to be a treifa? So now you have blood from a treifa on you. What's the halacha over here? Sakin sheshachat bo treifa, asur lishchot bo ad shedichenu betzonein oy shekachenu bedavar kasha. So if you have a knife that was used for a treifa, right, and if obviously if you check your knife afterwards and it turns out it was a treifa, as we discussed yesterday, you have to go backwards a little bit on all the previous animals. So what happens over here? You notice that the knife, that the animal you just shechted was a treifa. So the halacha is, in order to use it for the next animal, you have to rinse off the blood. You can't just use it like we said before. You have to rinse off the blood, or do ni'itza bakarka. Okay. V'noagim ata lakancho yafe b'se'ar behema bein kol shechita u'shechita v'shapir dame. So therefore, the minhag nowadays, the Shulchan Aruch writes, is between every single shechita, we don't do ni'itza bakarka, but we clean it, we rub it on the hair of an animal. It's a hard, somewhat hard surface. And right, it's not going to put a nick into our blade, so we rub it in between onto the hairs between every shechita, so that if the animal before was a treifa, it'll remove all the treif blood, or the shamnunit from the treifa that gets stuck onto the animal. So that's why it's worse by a treifa than a kshera. Kshera is just loose, thin blood that can easily come off. Here you get a little bit of fat from the animal, from a treifa now that gets stuck to it. And so I asked Rabbi Ben David, what's done nowadays? He says, nowadays no one rubs it on hair, they just rub it under the sink. Not for ofot, but for behemot, between every shechita to avoid this issue, they rub it, that's lemaisa, what's done is they just rinse it under a beres, the faucet of water. All right, they step on the foot pedal and they rinse off their knives between everyone. Okay. Fine, let's go on. Bein kol shechita v'shechita v'shapir dami v'im shachat po. Also, I'm assuming nobody eats from the neck anyway, so that's not really an issue lemaisa. Okay, v'im shachat bo below hadacha, yediach beit hashchita. And if you shechted without doing hadacha, then you have to rub the neck with a little bit of a rubbing motion to remove any of the blood and shamnunit from the treifa. V'im ragel lishchot bo treifos, tadir. If you're doing a whole line of animals all at once, and you ended up with three treifos, so then Sarich ni'itza eser pe'amin bekarka kasha. It's not enough just to rinse it and rub it on hair. You have to actually do ni'itza bekarka before you continue using it. Okay. Fine. Let's go on. Next siman. Let's start the next siman. Yud Aleph. Beizeh zman shochtim v'din ha'shochir b'toch ha'mayim. Okay. So Aleph. Le'o siman Yud Aleph se'if Aleph. It's not a problem, right? We're going to have a live demonstration at nighttime. You're allowed to shecht at nighttime or during the day. It's not a problem. What are we talking about? When? You have to have a well-lit place. You have to have a torch lit so you can see. And the lacha means two candles, even if it's braided, like a Havdalah candle, that suffices. And certainly what we have, modern day lights, is no problem. Aval im ein avuka kenegdo, if you have no light source, o bayom b'makom afel, or you're doing it in a cave, or a dark room, you close all the windows and doors really well and it's dark, lo yishchot, you're not allowed to shecht. V'im shachat shechitato ksheira. But if it was shechted, it was done, then b'di'evid, it's ksheira. And shnei neros chashuvim avuka, two candles, is considered a light.
But does it have to be kluim, or is even if it's kluim?
No, even if it's kluim.
So you can have two separate candles, and that's good enough.
You know how close they need to be together? I don't know. It's don't know. Good question. Can you use a well illuminating a moon outside, and sometimes the moon could be quite bright. So the Pri Chadash says 100% okay. The Radbaz says one should be machmer. He's machmer. That's in the Beretev. Okay. Again, with modern day lights, I don't think it's a big issue, but good question about the lights. Because here the purpose is to be well lit. So I don't know about the two candles. Right? Because, and we're talking about a case, lechatchila, you're not allowed to. We're afraid because it's dark, you're going to do hadrasa and not notice and not really know exactly what you're doing. But if you're confident you did it correctly, then it's fine. But you still have to check afterwards. You still have to check the simanim that they were cut. You can't just eat, but the d'yevid, we're not worried about hadrasa. Okay, let's do one more. Bet. Hashochet b'Shabbos u'b'Yom HaKippurim. Person shechts on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Alfa pi she'ido haya mezi b'Shabbos mitchayev b'nafsho. Even though if you did it on purpose, you'll be chayev misa or veloke or malchus b'Yom HaKippurim. Shechitato k'shera. So then you'd be chayev. You may be chayev on Shabbos or Yom Tov for what you did. Right, whether it's Malkus or Chiyav Misa or Chatas, whatever, Shechit, but even if you did it with Mezid, right? Shechita to Kshera. It's two separate things. The Shechita itself is 100% kosher. Now, just a quick throwback to Siman Bet, as they point out that it's a machokis if one time you do it with Mezid, if you do it one time, many point out for Avodah Zarah and for Hilchos Shabbos, if you do it one time, it may make you, if you do it b'mezid, it might make you a mumer, l'kol ha'Torah. However, again, that's a whole discussion, but here we're talking about the first time. So for sure you're not going to be a mumer the first time. It's only after you did it once, then for the next time, you become a mumer. All right, stop here.